the meme. Chase that dream, not the meme. Chase that dream, not the meme.
Welcome to Dreams Not Memes Podcast.
Hello everyone, this is another episode of Dreams Not Memes. I'm here with my friend Brooke. We are here based in Philadelphia, and Brooke is a professional in the STEM world, which means science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And today, we're going to talk to Brooke. How's it going?
I mean, I'm just over here laughing because you literally were like, oh, you're in STEM. And I was like, what's STEM? And you had to explain it to me.
Hey, it's all good. It's all good. So, how are you doing?
Today, it's a little dreary out, so sure. I was a little bit tired today. You know, I've had a long week at work, good but long, and I am just looking forward to going to the gym after this.
I feel that.
I'm also looking forward to being here, but, you know, got to get some of that out, you know what I'm saying?
No, I definitely feel that. So, what exactly is it that you do?
So, my title is a business development manager for a biotech company. So there are multiple modalities in this biotech company, so we're in multiple fields of scientific research, but where I specifically sit is cell therapy, and what that kind of means is it's a very specific type of cancer research, and what happens is we take out blood from people who are in these clinical trials, and the blood kind of gets filtered so that there's only these CAR T cells left, and the CAR T cells are pretty much what attacks the cancer cells. We genetically modify these cells a lot of times. Sometimes we don't, but a lot of times we do genetically modify these cells so that they're kind of like cancer cell killers on steroids, and then we activate them so that they turn on. So then we expand them, we make more and more and more, and then we put it back into the patient. And then so they have all of these like souped up cancer-fighting cells that are turned on and ready to kick some ass, and they fight the cancer that are in the bodies of these people. And so usually they're pretty aggressive cancers. We don't really do anything other than acute. But what exactly my company does is we sell equipment and reagents and consumables for this research. So we're not actually doing the research. We do have some in-house stuff that we do, but we sell the equipment outwardly to customers all over the country, all over the globe. So there's a bunch of customers that we have in Philadelphia. We have any big biotech company that does this type of research, we have come in contact with all over the globe. So what I specifically do is that we have a way of tracking the clinical trials and who is using our equipment and who is using other people's equipment, and you know where there's a mix, and we're kind of looking at where we're strong in the market, where we're weak in the market, and that program that we use to develop this insight, I'm in charge of. So I train sales specialists on how to use it so that it's standard. We have a standardized method of doing it, which I built. I built dashboards so that we can keep track of these metrics that come from the information in this program, and a whole slew of other things. My job is pretty wide, but I have been there for about 10 months now, and so it's our field is growing exponentially. Cell therapy is still pretty new. There's only 7 total drugs that are approved for this type of research, and when I started there was 5. Mm-hmm. So it's still very new, but there's a lot of, you know, funding going into this type of cancer research, and it's like the growth is just absolutely exponential. It's very promising, and you know, we are hoping that eventually, instead of it being like a third tier way of, you know, curing these diseases, it becomes even more prominent than chemo. Mm-hmm. So that's ultimately the goal of our research.
It's really fascinating. On a more broad level, because we're going to talk a little bit more about like what you do day to day, in the next half of the interview, why biotechnology and why science? Like, how did you get involved in that?
So I am going to reverse a while because this is all kind of relevant. I'm 27 now, and so I started college in August of 2013. And when I started college in August of 2013, I was going in under the assumption that I was going to be attending law school. after college. In high school, I wanted nothing to do with science. It was the only class I really had to study for. I graduated high school with like a 3.9, and the only reason I didn't get a 4.0 was because of science. So I was like, never going into science. This stuff sucks. Like, I'm not doing it. So by the end of my freshman year, I had started taking all these classes, and I was home with my mom, and I was like on break, and I was like, Mom, this stuff sucks, dude. Like, I was like, I am so bored. I am bored to tears. Like, I am not interested in anything that I've learned about this year. I have no idea what I'm doing. And so we kind of like started discussing it, but like, you know, I just really didn't know where to go. My mom had started college up again when I had, I'm sorry, my mom had graduated college when I had started, when I had graduated high school. And the reason that this happened was because we had gotten into a car accident and it hurt her back. And so she couldn't work anymore. She was a mailman. And so she started up college again, and she wound up going into geology, which was like kind of left field for her. She was always really into math. I was always really into math. I assumed I was going into math for a while. And so when I was home on this break, she was still working for one of her professors. And we went there one day, and she was like, okay, you seem bored, so take all these papers and look over it and check it for plagiarism. So she was like, if it's plagiarized, it's going to be obvious. It's, you know, all you have to do is like type in a few sentences into Google and it'll pop right up if it's plagiarized. So I started reading these papers, and it was on like rocks and volcanoes. And I was like, this is the most interesting shit that I've read all year long. And my mom was like, well, if that's how you feel, like, let's look at like these like programs that you have at your college. And so I wound up going into environmental science. And there were three different concentrations I could have gone into. It was like science, social science, or something else. But I decided to just stick with science because I was like, this whole social science isn't really it for me. So my concentration was in biology. And I started these classes and I pretty much fell in love. It was really surprising to me because I had hated science so much and I was so against it. But then my friend who was in nursing school was like, hey, like now that you really like science, like you should read this book that I had to read in high school. We didn't have the same teacher, so she gave it to me, and it was called The Hot Zone, and it's about Ebola. And so I was absolutely obsessed with Ebola. Like I still think it is one of the most fascinating like things that you can learn about. It's like just the fact that you have something so small that we cannot see it with the human eye can come and just liquefy your insides and kill you is insane. It's like scarier than a freaking lion coming at you full speed, you know? And so I was just like mesmerized by this. So I started my senior capstone, which was required to graduate. I had to do some type of research. And so I started my senior capstone on Chagas disease. And if you've never heard of what Chagas disease is, it's a parasitic disease primarily in Central and South America, although it is coming into the United States. And what happens is there are these bugs that act as the host of the parasite. The bugs will crawl down the wall of wherever they're living, and they will feed on humans, mammals, while they're sleeping. And when they feed, they defecate, and when they defecate, the parasite is in the feces, and then you scratch because it's itchy, it's like a mosquito bite, and the feces gets into your system. And why this is so bad is, you know, it's a lot of these are happening in underdeveloped countries, and that's why they're able to live in these houses, because there's a lot of cracks. A lot of them are made out of adobe, like, so they have cave-like environments, and they live in these cracks in the walls. So imagine being a toddler and you're getting this, and the acute symptoms, which is the symptoms that occur immediately after, are usually like flu-like symptoms at most, very mild, hard to detect, especially if you don't seek medical treatment because you're living in the jungle. And then in 10 to 20 years, 20% of people develop the chronic phase, and what happens is your heart and your internal organs just swell up and you drop dead.
Wow.
So imagine a 20-year-old woman who got it when she was 5. By the time she's 25, she probably has at least 3 kids, if not more, and then she drops dead.
Wow.
And then it's just the husband and the three kids living in this adobe hut by themselves. So it's really vicious, and a lot of people die from it. It's worse. It takes more lives than malaria in these countries that it's prevalent in. So it's a really vicious disease, even if it's not automatic. So all of my senior capstan was on that. I got to collect bugs. I got to travel for this. I got to sequence the DNA. I got to do all this really wonderful lab work for it. And when I graduated, I didn't really have a plan. I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I wound up getting a job working at a facility that does drug testing for the Department of Transportation. I was touching 250 urine samples every day. And I was like, this is disgusting. This is not what I want. There's nothing in the biomedical field around here. I gotta go, because I was in New Orleans at the time. So there really wasn't any biomedical research going on. It was all like wetland restoration or like hospital stuff, which are neither of my specialties. So I wound up moving back to Philadelphia, because around here we are a biomedical hub, and it would just be easy to move in with my dad, get started. So after about 4 months of being here, I finally landed a job at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And I was able to work there for about a year and a half. I went from one lab to another, and then I got offered a position at the University of Pennsylvania at a lab there. So I went to the University of Pennsylvania at that lab. And so my original lab was in genomics. And then at the University of Pennsylvania, I was in the sequencing lab there, but we were in the gene therapy department. And cell and gene therapy kind of go hand in hand, and the people that I worked with are customers of my company today. And so I was able to kind of transition from a bench lab job into this kind of business development role, still doing science, still understanding what was going on, but able to really use my scientific knowledge and apply it to more of the business side of things. And so that was a very long story, but I'd like to tell the whole thing, because there was a lot of floundering going on in those times and a lot of uncertainty. I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know where I was going to wind up. I was kind of acting a lot on instinct, and like, this wasn't like a very straight path for me, and it wasn't laid out. And I just want to encourage like anyone, if you do feel like you're floundering, like, it's okay. We all flounder.
Exactly.
And like,
exactly.
Yeah. And like, I thought I was going to law school. Like, I had no idea I was going to wind up where I'm at. And like, I'm sure that in 10 years, I'm going to look back on this conversation and I'm going to be like, look at all the shit that I've done since then. And you just kind of got to like trust your gut and like, don't make any decisions because you feel like you need to. Like, just wait and let the answers come. And like, that's really what I did. And so I don't really take the credit for where I'm at now. I like really trust my instincts, because there was a lot of different times that I could make a lot of different moves, and I'm beyond happy with where I'm at now.
I really appreciate that you said that, because, you know, granted, like, this is an audio interview, I could really see your emotional feelings about what you were doing then. Like, the urine samples wasn't a vibe.
Mm-mm.
Versus like doing, you know, cancer research and selling technology, something that you're definitely vibing with. So let's talk a little bit more about what you want to do and what you're doing in the next half of the Streams Not Memes episode.
Okay.
Quick message. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Dreams Not Memes. Please make sure to follow Dreams Not Memes podcast on your preferred streaming channel or on Instagram at Dreams Not Memes podcast. To support Dreams Not Memes podcast, feel free to contact me at daywithoutlove@gmail.com for advertising or sponsorship opportunities. Now, let's get back to the show. All right, now we are back. So we were discussing what you do today and your career path and figuring out what you're doing, or as you said, floundering. Can you talk to me a little bit about how do you feel about what you're doing today, and like, how does it motivate you?
Yeah, so my feelings about what I do today are very complicated, and that doesn't necessarily mean that they're negative. I am so proud of what I have accomplished and where I'm at and the field that I'm in. I never thought that I was going to want to get into oncology. I was like, infectious diseases, infectious diseases, infectious diseases. And then somehow I wound up in genomics and sequencing, and now I'm in cell therapy, which is oncology. And, but cancer, like, everybody knows somebody that has cancer, you know? So it's so fulfilling to know that what I do on a regular basis, like, really makes a difference. And all of these clinical trials that we are supporting are really making a difference. So I could not be happier with, like, where I'm at. The company I'm at is absolutely incredible. It's always on the Forbes list for one of the best companies to work for. The team that I am a part of is so supportive, and I feel like I know that I'm in a good place, and I'm going to be able to grow with this company and, like, with these mentors that I have. That being said, I feel like I'm floundering, kind of circling back. You know, whenever I went to, like, kind of make a decision on, like, switching gears, I had a very broad idea of what I wanted. So when I was at the drug testing facility, I was like, I want to do lab work, but I don't want to do this. And I want to work in the biomedical field. And so I moved across the country to come back to Philadelphia to try and do that. And thank God I was successful. So that was, like, my kind of broad picture. And then when I was working in a research lab, I was like, okay, I've got a feel for this, not my jam. You know, I'm kind of doing the same thing over and over again. I love to talk, in case you couldn't tell. And so I was just, like, running samples, sitting on a lab bench by myself. And that wasn't, it wasn't really just filling my cup. And so I decided, like, okay, let me talk to my coworkers. They were like, here are where your strengths are. And I was like, so I should be transitioning into a business role. And I also had a business minor. So it just so happened that I had kind of business experience. All of my strengths and what I like to do lied more with, I don't want to say administrative work, because, like, writing protocols, like, wasn't, like, it for me, but I enjoyed doing that more and, like, helping the lab function rather than, like, being, like, doing the work, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, kind of looking about, like, how can we make this work better?
Like, more, PM work?
Like, more, like, how can we make the lab run more efficiently? Mm-hmm. Like, how can we make sure everybody's getting trained the same? That kind of a thing.
Gotcha, yeah.
So it was more, like, administrative type things, but I needed an understanding of what was happening in the lab in order to make that work. And so when I was searching for new jobs, none of it was lab work. And I was getting recruited for lab tech positions, and I was like, I don't want that. And so I wound up in this business development role. I was looking into sales, and this is the role I kind of hooked and wound up with. And I took it I was very happy to take it. I didn't know what to expect. And so now that I'm there, I have about 10 months under my belt, but I'm still learning. I mean, I'm still learning about what everybody in the industry does. I'm still learning about what different, like, job titles do. Like, marketing isn't what I expected it was. And, like, you know, some of it is, but a lot of it isn't. And just kind of learning how industry and business and, like, corporate companies work. So I'm in this position, and there's a lot of things that I do on a day-to-day basis that excite me, and there's a lot of things that don't. And I actually had a development meeting with my boss maybe last week, 2 weeks ago. My concept of time is all fucked up.
No, it's very real.
I, like, literally never know, like, what day it is. But I had a meeting with him, and he was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I have no idea. And that's how it went. I work with some of the smartest people, My boss went to Harvard Business School and got his MBA at Harvard. You know, I work with some very intelligent people, and because of that, I was so lucky. And I also work with a company that really wants you to stay within the company and will work with you to get you to where you want to be. They're very flexible, and everybody, within the company has pretty much moved up throughout the company and has been there for many years. So in this development meeting, he was like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I have no idea. And he's like, well, what makes you excited? And I listed off a couple of things, and he gave me some direction. And then I talked to my old boss, and he gave me some direction. And, you know, I keep getting feedback. And, of course, I'm not in any rush to make any sort of decision. We're not asking this because, you know, I have to, like, get a new job or anything. It's just, like, you know, where do you want to see yourself in 5 years? Like, how do you want this career development to go down for you? And I feel like that's, like, the sign of, like, a really amazing company.
100%. And, like, I was going to ask you, like, do you feel free to be able to be honest enough to say you don't know? Because a lot of times, especially in the tech industry, as someone that has been in the tech industry, when you tell someone, especially on a developmental call, that you don't know what you want to do, they're going to ramp up and say, it's time for you to go because you don't know what you want to do. Versus, I don't know what I want to do. Okay, let's do a SWOT. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What are your opportunities? What are your threats or things that you don't like about the job? Mm-hmm. And now let's see how you can move forward. Hearing that is, like, very, very valuable for your development or anyone else that's, like, floundering, as you say. Mm-hmm. And additionally, it's good advice for middle and upper-level managers that don't know what to do with their subordinates when they say they don't know. Because a lot of times, people won't say they don't know.
Right.
They'll make up some bullshit and right. say, like, well, you know, I like this operations role and thinking about the senior position when they just want more money.
Mm-hmm.
They hate it here.
Yeah.
And hearing that, like, you know, you're a very honest person. I know that, like, outside of the podcast. When you said, I don't know, and you were welcomed with, you know, what are your strengths? What excites you? How did that feel?
I mean, it's amazing. And, like, I have, ever since day one of working for this company, I have felt supported.
Mm-hmm.
And this man who is my boss now, God bless him, he's amazing, but he became my boss at the beginning of this year. So 3 months ago, I met this guy. And he is just so himself, just like real and honest and supportive. And he's like, I want to help you get where you want to go. He said to me one time, and I'll never forget, like, a good manager like wants to see his employees happy. A great manager wants to see his employees grow. And he was like, I am your boss and I am dedicated to your career development as well as my own, because this is part of what you entrust me with. Like, I'm a mentor and, you know, I want to see you succeed and I want to make sure that you are happy and that you're getting all of the support and services that you need. And I mean, you just can't teach that.
No.
You really just can't teach that. But it also comes with the environment. Because every, like, manager, boss, anybody that I've met is like that. We really just have my company. And I think this is why, like, they're always on the Forbes list. Like, we just have such a good environment. It's like the work life balance is good, the managers are good, like, the expectations are reasonable, and, you know, every step of the way we are supported. It makes me feel really amazing that I work with who I work with. Every day, like, I'm like, I love my job, I love my job, I love my job. So then when he was like, what do you love about your job? I'm like, the people and the bosses. And he's like, well, what about your job? And I'm like, oh shit, I never even, like, considered
sure,
that.
Sure.
Because I'm just so happy, like, at the company I'm at. And, you know, the company that I'm at also hired a consulting company. And what they offered was women to women, not counseling, not mentorship, but...
like a buddy system? Coaching.
The company I work with offered women to women coaching. And so you applied for it and they read over your application. Why do you want to be coached? What do you want to work on? And they accepted my application. I started my first coaching session. So this is someone totally external. This is an external consultant, not involved in my company at all, but working with me, hired by my company in order to build on my strengths and work on the things that I wanted to work on. And she was like, this is different than a mentorship program because you get to pick the agenda. You get to pick the itinerary. And I will provide the resources to help you build up on these things that you want to work on. And so one of the first things I said was imposter syndrome. And she was like, oh, I have so much on this. Like, here's a questionnaire, here's a questionnaire, here's a questionnaire. Like, read this. We'll start next time we meet. And it's, like, 6 coaching sessions, 50 minutes apiece. And that's, like, the type of things that my company offers. Like, they don't just want us to do well in work. They want us to do well in our lives. And they want to make sure that we're getting what we need. We're getting the vacation that we need. We're getting the support that we need. You know, people are understanding of when other things come up outside of work. And, you know, just, like, I, like, can't speak enough with how amazing it is to work for this company. They really just want to make sure that holistically we are thriving because we are whole people. And just because, you know, we're people at work and we're other people outside of our lives, they were like, we want to make sure that you're doing well on all fronts, because if you're not doing well in your personal life, it's going to reflect in your work. And, like, we don't want to see you struggle like that and feel like work is adding more stress on top of that.
And I love to hear that, because, you know, I think that is the future of work. I remember reading an article, I can't remember where it was from, I think it was Harvard Business Review or Forbes, where Steve Jobs said, if you want your company to have work-life balance, you need to be able to check in your employees' life as well as their work. Because some people work to avoid their life, and some people's work is a reflection of how they're managing their lives. And hearing that your company has this holistic approach is very liberating, not just for me, but probably for a lot of people that struggle to have that work-life balance. Example, people that have unlimited PTO but can't even use the PTO, or people that have healthcare benefit plans that don't cover their families. And the list goes on and on and on, especially maternity leave. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole. But for you, you know, while you're floundering and acknowledging that you're doing the work to, you know, confront your imposter syndrome and things like that, what are some things that you would like to do, whether it be with this company, your career, or just future?
So I know that I want to move up.
Mm-hmm.
Particular reasons I want to move up is because I like managing people. I've had jobs where I've gotten to manage people. I want to provide people with the support that I've been provided within this company. I think that it would just be, like, such an honor to be a good boss to someone. I want more money, obviously. I have an addiction to fashion, and I cannot stop shopping to save my life. I also love to travel, so I need more money to do so. And I just have always been work motivated, and I love to accomplish things. I might go as far to say that I tie my self-worth a little too heavily into my job and how I progress in my career. And that's something I'm working on, like, with my therapist. But I always really liked succeeding in school. I always really liked succeeding in college. I always really liked succeeding in work. And I like to see all of my hard work kind of come to fruition. It makes me feel really proud. And I'm very smart. And so I like to be able to, you know, utilize my brain and, like, have something to show for that. You know, Sean White's really good at snowboarding. He's got a million gold medals to show for it. It's my representation of, like, a gold medal. And, you know, ultimately, I'll say it once and I'll say it a million times, what we do is so, so relevant to so many people and so important. Science and technology are just, like, like, the things that I see coming out, the things I get to go to conferences and witness, like, the technology and, like, all of the new research, it's absolutely amazing. Like, the things that we are learning from all of this research and the people that we're able to help in all of this research. And, you know, just the advancements that we're making. Like, gene therapy, going into someone's genetic code to fix what the mutation is so that they're not sick anymore. What? Like, it's amazing and it's absolutely incredible. And, like, I just am, like, so proud to be a part of something that's so big and is going to get so much bigger. You know, it's going to be something that helps a lot of people. Helps a lot of people. My roommate had cancer and I saw her go through chemo, and it made her very sick. It made her very, very sick. And so, you know, the fact that we're working on an option that doesn't target all of the cells in your body, healthy, unhealthy, cancer, non-cancer, but something that is specifically targeted at cancer cells
is huge.
Is huge.
It's very, very huge.
The concept is simple, but, you know, in actuality, it's huge. And, you know, I hear people say all the time, like, oh, they have a cure for cancer out there somewhere. They don't have a fucking cure for cancer.
No.
Like, do you, like, it is so complicated. The different types of cancers are so complicated, and the amount that we're putting into, like, research, like, and, like, giving people free treatments for this research. Like, this research is funded, and it's not like people are getting paid for this. Like, you know what I mean? I just, it's a mixture of the pride I take in my work. It's a mixture of it being fulfillment for me, and a mixture of, like, actually, like, doing something to be useful and of service to the global population is why I really do what I do and why I really love doing what I do.
Well, thank you for sharing why you love doing what you do and your story. And this has definitely been a good episode of Dreams Not Memes.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime.
Hi, this is Brian from A Day Without Love. Thank you for listening to Dreams Not Memes. I just want you to remember, your dreams matter. If you'd like to support this podcast, email adaywithoutlove@gmail.com for donation information, or follow me for weekly episodes. Thank you for listening and joining my journey. Have a good day.